Listen, I've been up for a while.
All right, everybody.
Do I get to keep my beard?
I'm keeping my beard.
Her hair's funny.
Fuck off.
It is. It was like boop, boop, boop.
Oh, I'll sit over here.
Okay.
All right.
Are you not getting your booze?
The AON podcast.
Hello, my love.
We get music?
Yeah, this is our intro music.
Dope.
Sweet. Low your bar. Low your bar. Here it comes, Salsa. You ready?
Yes, I am. As a matter of fact.
Boom.
That's gonna stop me.
Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex.
It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your host,
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna and.
Why are you looking at me? Oh, hi, I'm Matt.
And we are joined by very special guests,
Eric.
And Lauren.
Yay.
Wait, am I not a special guest?
Have
I
not? No.
No,
you're not special about
you're
nothing.
You just came out of retirement for a few minutes.
Now, here's the thing. You overplayed your hand. When they looked at you and you said your name, you lost.
Yep.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. As you will have heard by the theme music, we are now the Apropos of Nothing podcast. It is not really different from what you just saw, but I mean, technicalities are technicalities.
For his accent day.
His accent day. Oh, my God.
His accent day. I'm not in charge anymore.
Have some more booze, Eric.
AON has accent day.
Oh, what this means?
That's a sweet accent you're thinking.
What this means is there's a very important change that has happened, and that is we have different drinks for the drink challenge.
What? Did we go get those, or are they just...
No, they are hovering just backstage.
Ooh.
That's
wait,
right.
You actually hovering?
Yes, the levitation.
I don't know. I think it's gross.
I see nothing hovering.
I think it's gross.
I should
see anything backstage.
I should point out that someone should get those because...
they will be revealed.
Josh is on it.
Well, Matt has something he has to take care of from one Troy to Troy.
Yay, Troy to Troy.
Oh, hold on.
No, that's not ours. That's not
he wants it.
Oh.
No, we have
special booze for this, Josh.
Oh, God.
Here, we have very special booze.
Oh, no.
So very special.
And
we
slow.
Made it ourselves, you guys.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Buckle up for the drinks.
Because of one hero listener's persistence in reminding us, we have Jolly Rancher vodka.
Oh, yes.
That we made ourselves. We've got cherry, blue raspberry, grape, watermelon, and green apple. And let me tell you,
Matt, honey,
two of these are pretty good. The other three are not.
Give so Matt the watermelon.
Yeah, Matt, you get watermelon. No, Matt gets watermelon.
Because it's the best one, right?
Yes.
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 So like I said, you have two from... Troy to Troy.
Oh, well then, give him, what was...
The
grape was actually pretty good.
No, the cherry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the cherry.
Cherry.
Yep.
Cherry.
those look like they're urine samples from someone who is really sick.
Also, somebody get James a drink, because there's something special for him, too.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That is sticky.
Oh. Yeah.
Just as a reminder, there is still a matching grant that's going on.
Yes, true.
We have received some donations, but I know we haven't received all $250 for that matching grant.
We need to hit that matching grant.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Son, no.
That was
not I'm a wiser man since when I was on this podcast. I fear.
I don't know that I believe that.
No. All right, so this being the Apropos of Nothing
contest.
Yep. This being the Apropos of Nothing podcast, we're going to go with what you guys...
It's ass scent day.
It is...
See, Matt, he's way funnier than you are.
Yeah.
I regret nothing. Let's be very clear. This thing has gone just fine.
I'm just trying to get...
What?
What?
Jean Pitre.
Yay!
Oh, Jean Pitre!
To Matt. Drink form. Request to talk faster because I listen to podcast at 200%.
Eat a dick.
Wait, Matt.
Say it slow.
Yeah. Wow, did he just down the entire thing?
Yeah, yes he did.
I am so goddamn sticky right now.
Did he
I had a date like that once.
Matt, say that slow.
No, say it a lot faster. So hey guys.
That wasn't sexy?
No.
Hey guys, what you been up to?
I've been up to a 50-hour comedy.
If anybody says anything other than die laughing, then fuck you.
I'm gonna literally go wash my
That's a good bet. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Please do, and then you know, come back because we miss you.
With a question mark, audibly placed at the end,
and an Intero bag.
Yeah.
So no, you guys, what have you been doing?
Okay, so far. I have watched a significant amount of comedy, both from backstage and from the audience. And right now, I gotta say, I have laughed hardest.
Oh my God, yes.
At two specific acts.
Oh,
sure.
And they were within fairly quick succession after each other. They weren't immediately succeeding each other, but they were pretty close. And those would be Fraudini.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And Mary Jo Peel.
Yes.
Neither of these is a surprise.
No.
At all. But holy shit. Like, okay.
Give me details.
Yes, I'm... So Fraudini is a character or act or... What
I would
do
say
we,
a caricature.
There we go. Yeah. Of Pizpor the Magician. Where he does a mentalist act. And here's the thing with I was going to say his real name, but Pizpor, is that guy is so goddamn funny.
Name dropper?
That he was able to dump an entire glass of water on my stage, including... fucking close to the electronics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very, very.
And I wasn't even angry. That's how funny he was.
Nice.
So I fuck. Like, do we want to really get into like details or
we shouldn't
or?
Get too much into the minutiae because it's a work in progress.
Oh yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
That was literally his beta test.
Let's just say it was a ventriloquism act?
It was mental.
It was mental. How very cerebral.
But any, really, if you've heard us talking about Pizpor in the past, the fact of the matter is everything that guy, he's fucking comedy Midas touch.
Yeah.
That guy is funny as shit. And then Mary Jo Peel, it's Mary Jo Peel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if I need to explain why that's significant, Google it. Jesus Christ.
We had Pat Levon and Mary Jo Peel back to back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Both of whom have been regulars at Fearless Lab at Honey for about the last year. I get them in about every 3 months or so.
So was that like a humble brag?
No, not at all. What I'm saying is that's what's so cool is that the sets people saw tonight, I've seen pieces of
over the last year.
And then tonight I saw the honed version. And they've been doing them other places.
The culmination,
But I got to go, oh, I see where this is going. This is actually that bit that they did. Oh,
that's
wow.
Cool.
And so watching kind of a final product of stuff they tried out in like 8-minute chunks over the last year. So like everyone here that saw it and loved it, and rightfully so, like I got to see the bits and pieces. And I don't think I've ever had that opportunity before. It was
really
fascinating. Oh, my God.
I was actually talking with Pat Levon downstairs before his act. Because I was working, and he was talking about how much he appreciates Fearless Lab, because he's given actual time to work on his stuff, as opposed to like most other open mics in the area where you're given like 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah,
And you just you don't get the time to actually test out that material and figure out what's working and what's not.
Yeah.
You get like a nice wine.
Yeah,
you know.
I book an hour and I try to book with 4 or 5 people. Which is way less than like a standard open mic. Because I like to give people, they're like, how long do I get? Like 3 minutes, 4 minutes? I'm like 5 to 10, depending on what you got. And they're like, really?
Yeah.
You never get a chance to let something breathe at an open mic, and I think we can do that. That's the whole point of it being experimental.
Right.
And some people are like, oh God, I can't feel that. Give me 4 minutes. Okay, you get 4.
How cool would it be?
It's really fun.
How cool would it be to have a documentary where you saw, at the beginning, you saw the finished product, and then the documentary went back and went, here's all of the open mics and stuff that they did.
Oh, yeah. But that's because I'm...
As it evolves, and then you see the snippets of the jokes evolve slowly, you know, and you see all of the bad shit that got cut and the little evolutions and stuff that happened.
Yes.
I would absolutely watch that.
I still don't see how this is not a humble brag.
Because it's Matt. There's nothing humble about
it.
Lab exists
outside of me being a part of it. When I'm gone, Lab will still exist and hopefully keep doing the same thing, which is just giving people opportunities. I've just been lucky enough to be around during these performances, and that's the way I look at it. So, yeah, not a humble brag. They don't care about me. They just simply contacted a place that has offered them time. And, oh, by the way, if we haven't mentioned it yet, if you would like stage time and you live in Minneapolis, you can shoot me an email or message me on Facebook. I have a very public email, matt.alex@gmail.com, or find me on Facebook and send me a message and say, hey, I'd like to perform. And the next time I have an open slot that works out with your schedule, you get to perform. That's how it works. It's that simple. And I don't screen people. You don't have to send me your stuff ahead of time. You just show up and play. Because people need the opportunity to try comedy, which is a big thing that we're doing in general for Fearless. It's just sometimes you just need a stage in a room to find out if this is for you or not. I had someone that was absolutely stellar at Lab 2 months ago, and I said, you're brand new. I would love to have you be one of my performers at Lab during Die Laughing. And about 3 weeks ago, I got a message that was like, hey, thanks for the opportunity, but I've done 2 or 3 additional open mics since I did yours. It's not for me. I don't think that's what I want to do. Mm. I'm really sorry. I hope I'm not putting you in a bind. I said, no, not at all. I can find people to fill it. But that's the point of having the thing is maybe you think, I'm going to be a comedian and I'm going to do stand-up. And you go, oof, woof. Nope, I'd rather be a director or a producer or work in a factory. I don't care. They're all equally valid
career
choices.
Or even
just
a different brand of
improv.
Whatever
it is, but like, whatever
something.
You want to do. But like, you got a chance to find out. And that's all it is. So like, it's totally fine. And like, I think, like I said, Lab isn't mine. Lab is. And I hope if I'm ever not doing it, someone else does. And the reason I'm doing it is because no one else was. Mm-hmm. And that's all it is. Like, there's no me owning that, you know?
There seems to be a pile of challenges
they are stacking
that we
up.
Should probably get through before they just build up.
I think these are for after.
Okay.
Because these are... Oh, Eric is...
Well, you can just hand them to me.
Oh, okay.
Probably send them down to Eric.
Probably. I didn't want, like, 7 shots to build up or something
that.
While we're on the topic of Fearless letting people have the opportunity to do things, Eric...
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about your stand-up set? Yeah, Eric was on the podcast a week or two.
No, I mean, I'll gladly talk about it.
Okay. Eric was on the podcast.
I'm sorry,
just
is this a humble brag?
Name dropper.
But no, Eric was on Apropos of Nothing just a couple weeks ago. Was it even last week?
Yeah, it was this week.
I don't even know. It's
been like
3:45.
4 days.
I guess technically it's last
Sunday.
Week.
Yeah. But Eric's never done stand-up, and
done something that long.
A half hour set.
Yeah,
and he did a half hour set today.
I've done some stand-up before at a great place called Fearless Lab.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've never heard of
name
it.
Dropper.
So I mean, and that's a really
humble
cool kind
brag,
of.
And the living is easy.
I mean, let me
is
be a shill.
Sublime reference,
and the credit is mine.
Oh. Okay, let me continue to shill as I drink this delicious True Stone coffee.
Woo, True Stone.
Lauren is so pissed at how off key I am.
Yeah, I didn't like it. But also, I expected nothing less.
Well. Eric is looking at these new slips we just got. I should point out, if y'all missed it,
Aiden set up a thing that was basically a rap battle between Jason and Aaron earlier today, at which Aaron found out to her dismay that Jason is an actual rapper.
Yes.
Because we all know Aaron is an amazing improviser.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's astounding. Mm-hmm. And it was vastly entertaining. They both did very well. Jason had the edge, obviously. The show was running short. And so Jason started going, all right, I'll just freestyle for a bit. And he called for suggestions from the audience, and he'd rap for a while. And on, like, the third one he got, he did a rap that turned into a plug for Die Laughing as a Whole, and then the Lyritics set, which is up next. So it ended up being this, like, 4, maybe 5 minute long rap that just absolutely broke down what's great about everything we did this weekend and what was going to be so good about their set coming up. It was astounding.
I cannot wait.
And then
he
just walked off stage, changed outfits, and then came back and did an actual set. It was so fucking great.
Dang.
I cannot I can't wait to edit that video.
It was so good.
And they were right. That song is stuck in my head.
If you've not seen Lyritics and you get the chance, do it.
We had a fucking dance party going on backstage.
Oh, yeah. It was so great.
And I definitely want to continue this conversation, but I do want to say that I do have True Stone in front of me. So if somebody wants True Stone, I have glasses and we'll share with the people on this stage.
I could definitely use some True Stone. Oh, my God. Thank you, True Stone, for powering us through this 50-hour
nightmare.
I brought bigger glasses, yes.
So
it comes in bigger glasses.
Do you want me to pour while you talk about your stand-up set? Or not want to talk about your stand-up set?
No, that's great. I'll gladly talk about my stand-up set. So I have done a total of 3 stand-up things before this, all at Lab, with the latest one being not my choice to do at Lab. So after a show in, I guess it was end of November, beginning of December, we were hanging out at a bar after doing a random mystery show thing, and we were all talking, and I was joking about how my wife told me I was doing too many shows and I needed to stop for December, which the conversation went, well, I have some shows that I need to do that I've already committed to. And she's like, okay, you can do the ones you've committed to, but don't do anything extra. So for clarification, in December, I only performed in 6 shows. So that was my light month.
She's holding you back, man.
So I
she's keeping you sane.
Did you
just
Yoko that Ono?
Oh, yeah, because I can't do it to my own wife.
But we were hanging out, and it was like, okay, when are you going to do stand-up again? And this is not my wife. This is someone else asking me when I'm going to do stand-up again. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe like, I don't know, sometime soon, like a Lab or something. They're like, oh, so like December. And I went, yeah, no. No, I'm not allowed to do it in December. And I told this story while we were sitting at the bar, and Matt goes, all right, your name's down for January. And I went, you son of a bitch. And he goes, it's in my phone. Sorry, it's already happening. I'm like, God damn it. So then I had to write a stand-up set for January because Matt is the best kind of jerk. Because he the thing is with Lab, and I think this is really essential, especially for some of our newer Fearless members who make a comment that's like, you know, I want to try improv, or I want to try stand-up, or I want to try this. Whenever you say, I want to try this thing, and you don't put like a date on it, it'll never happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Matt is very good at going, okay, you want to try that thing. All right. The May Lab. That's when you're doing it. And you're like, what? And he's like, yeah, I have you down for the May Lab. Yeah. You're like, oh, shit. Now I have to figure that out in a month and a half. Okay. All right, let's figure this out. And then you do. Because that's just kind of what Fearless supports.
Can I point out, I learned that actually from AON.
Yeah.
We had
name dropper.
Right?
Yes.
Years at this point ago, we had Joseph Scrimshaw on, and I talked about the idea of he's a prolific playwright and writes books and comedy. And I was, how do you do it? What keeps you motivated? He goes, book a show. You'll write a show by the time that show's due.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? He goes, yeah, literally book a show 2 months out. You will have a play by then, or you will feel completely destroyed and be a jackass and never be able to get booked again. You will create something if you have to have it done. Mm. And that is not what I do. When people go, I think I'd like to try stand-up. How about next week? Mm-hmm. And you know what? Turns out everybody can do stand-up in a week or a month or however long it is if you tell them that's when they're going to do it. That is something I learned from Joseph Strumshaw because we had him on AON. Yeah. That has absolutely completely changed my comedic philosophy.
I just want to point out that's what passes for commitment around us is it's in my phone.
Wait, hold on.
I had a relationship.
Can I just mention that it's really strange that Matt is the person who has the expertise on commitment?
I've got at least two more than most people on this stage.
To be fair, that show commitment, which results in the other kind of commitment.
No, that's commitment.
That's why I wasn't allowed to perform in December.
Shut up.
But it's absolutely true. I think anybody, like, a lot of us work at the Renaissance. A lot of us work at the Renaissance Festival, and that is something that every single one of us has experienced every year. It's
Lauren.
Every year it's like
it is
3 days before fest and we're just like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I don't have my costume put together. I don't know my choreography. Like I don't know the lines to my show. I don't know any of this. And day one happens and the show is fucking great. And
what are we doing, Matt? Quick, grab a banana peel.
Yeah, exactly. Like that all shit that just comes together if you have that that timestamp on it.
I was talking with Jessa about this actually.
Jessa, who completely destroyed during vilification.
Oh my god,
earlier
my daughter
tonight, by the
fucking
way. We
amazing.
God damn, she's
holy
brutal.
Shit.
That's the word around the bathrooms.
Yeah.
Clearly,
yeah.
Talent skips a generation in your family.
Yeah, no.
Versus
see, I know my parents
in
and their attempts at theater, and yeah, that's not accurate. It just it skips too. So anyway. but she was asking me, like, what's the best character, like, street character you've ever played at Fest? Because I don't do as much street anymore with my actual, like, fancy painting shows up there. and she goes, she wanted to know what the best street character I had was. And I was like, I think it was Nettie the Fishmonger.
I honestly thought you'd say Nettie.
Yeah. I think Nettie was possibly my best one. And she's like, well, what did you do for Nettie? I'm like, well, a week before Fest was opening that year, I went, shit, I should probably come up with something because I'm not in a group like last year. And I had all these costume pieces and I put them together and I was like, all right, I've always wanted to try a fishmonger character. Like, fuck it. So like 3 days before open, I'm buying an oar, like a wooden oar and like a fisherman's hat. Just to, you know, help solidify that. And like a net. Like I found a net somewhere.
Yeah. Which is surprising that you can find all of that at Goodwill.
No, I actually had to go somewhere special for the goddamn oar because I wanted a specific...
Specialoars.com.
Special
oar. That net, by the way, was a great costume piece.
It was.
Yeah.
But you could do so much
with it. But here's the thing. Like, she was like, that was like 3 days before Fest Open. I'm like, yeah. She's like... So you just knew all of the fish jokes? I'm like, no. That happened the night before when I was sitting around Old Man's Fire, and I was like, I should have something to do tomorrow. And I was like, fish jokes. I'm going to Google some fish jokes. Why not? And that was pretty much it.
Well, as people fish say, like, jokes, art thrives on jokes, its limitations, roly-poly, and fish. People always say necessity is the mother of invention. I think what that boils down to is that when you have no time or a timeline that seems too short, what it does is it gives you a limited number of options.
Right.
Which makes you decide, what do I really want to do and how can I make these things service that? And what you actually end up doing is what you would have done all along had you spent a year planning it.
Right.
Because you go, oh, fuck. You know what would be really cool if I could turn this into a mermaid or a knight or a clown or a... You know, tightrope, whatever. Like, whatever the thing is, you try to force everything into the thing you wished you'd done in the first place. But if you had all your options laid out, you might dick around with too many other things.
You bypass.
I think you actually end up cleaving closer to your art.
Yeah, you bypass the analysis.
You have to prioritize real fucking quick.
Yeah, out of like, Kyle and I, who are
also,
we're
like,
MCs
do I have
right
to
now.
Drink this? Was that part of the thing?
By the way,
paid for?
You have to do a shot of it.
I want to mention Kyle and I have an MC challenge, and which is also my high school rap name. we have an MC challenge going right now that if we raise $400 during our shift, which is a low bar to hit,
Well, especially with a $250 matching grant.
Right. It's the only bar we know.
I know several bars.
that we will lick, like, full-on palm with tongue Nintendo Switch cartridges. They are impregnated with a bittering agent that makes children spit them out. And if you know anything about children, you know that they're not likely to spit cartridges or anything. Like, they will eat like, everything they're not supposed to.
Wait, hold on.
Rhymes. Yeah.
Wait. So here is the human child. They are unlikely to spit cartridges.
Yes.
James, what access do you have to kids that you fucking think this?
Like, I have
what
a nephew. You...
None anymore.
Yeah, no shit.
Is access day.
The cartridges, my understanding is that people have licked these and vomited before.
Yes. Yeah,
straight on, like, this is not, they're not as, actually, it sounds like they're fucking around. They're not actually.
As part of a joke commitment, I did already lick one time, one of these cartridges fucking months ago. One, I still wake up sweating with the memory of that. It actually seriously ruined my palate for the entire day.
I would say you're ready for side
show. Yeah. There you go.
It was miserable. So there's that. We have purchased from GameStop two brand new cartridges.
They're
two
used.
Brand new to us cartridges.
Oh, I feel never like the fact. Hold on, I feel like the fact that they're used makes it a little bit worse because you don't know who fuck was
as
fucking around
this,
with that before.
She's like, "Oh, are you buying this for somebody? You're buying?" I was like, "I'm buying it for a comedy marathon." And she goes, "Well, how do these factor into a comedy marathon?" And I was like, "We're gonna lick them," and she goes, "Oh."
See,
she was like, "Well, do you want the warranty?"
See, James, if you were here for my comedy set, you would have known that you needed to be way more sarcastic when telling the truth. No, these aren't a gift. They're totally for a comedy marathon.
He says, checking out of a Walmart with tarps, duct tape, and a machete. That's... Right. So, no, I...
get the baby formula.
Kyle and I had a plan that I was going to dress in armor, and I was going to be this silent character out there and everything like that.
Oh, for Fest, yeah.
And it was this grand plan that didn't come together until the middle of the run. And in the meantime, a different character happened, and it's now the character that I was known for. Because I was helping somebody change a tire, and they were like, what do you do out here? And I was like,
change tires, apparently.
I'm a knight character. And they were like, out at the joust? three stars. It's a restaurant. Yes.
That actually does come from the tire company. Yes. Yeah.
So
Matt, are you going to drink that or stare at it?
A little of each.
Let's all stare at
it. Do it.
Pinky's out.
Do it. Calm down. Take your shot.
Come on. For Troy to Troy.
Come on.
These fancy accents.
Oh, yeah. There it goes. How is that for you?
No,
he doesn't like it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Taste it.
This is what I remember savor it. Officer of tasting when I was a kid.
Yep.
No.
That's
the cherry.
And that one's for Slaughterhouse
she was like,
Princess.
Well, who are you out here? Are you anybody else? And I was like, oh, I'm Other Squire. And she's like, Other Squire! We love you!
So you're not
Other
Squire. You are Other Squire.
Other Squire, yeah. And the thing is, I just wander around with a sign that says Other Squire, and it doesn't make sense until I'm standing next to Kyle, who has a sign that says Squire. And the best part about it is that we naturally stand in a particular order, and we find... Oh, also Squire. So
you don't even
Squire.
Know your own character's name.
Story does not
right.
Work out.
So,
no, it does.
No.
So
no,
I'm
it does.
Drunk and tired.
yes, James, I believe one of those.
So
wait, don't you work overnight?
Yes, but I usually sleep before that.
So have I told the story about? Me getting recognized when Matt and I went wine tasting after Fest Friday.
Oh, I've gotten a recognition story after you're done.
So I was there for Fest Friday a few years back, and for those that aren't aware, it is set up so that like school field trips happen, and we do a weird day of fest that is kind of like half school field trips and shopping day, and then like half regular day, but most people
but
didn't show up, kind of.
Day.
Yeah.
Mostly accent day.
Above all, is accent day.
So there is a place nearby, a wine shop that has a lot of like specialty liqueurs and other cool stuff, and they do a wine tasting every Friday. So we're like, if we duck out of Fest like right when cannon goes off, we can get there and have free wine. And then go into the last 2 days of Fest after having free wine.
Oh, yeah.
Because why not? And,
Jesus.
Wow.
Delivery.
There is a please do now.
So.
Oh, we have a please do now stack.
Oh.
Oh.
Ah.
Scratch sound.
Okay.
Uh-oh, okay.
No, okay, we'll
no, that's the Scooby-Doo surprise
noise. All right, we will take care of these in a moment. Promise to Jay Ashton Green.
Yeah. Yay!
So Matt and I duck out and we go to this little wine shop, and we had changed into civvies, so we are not wearing our costumes. And there are some people there that are in costume, and the two of us are just exhausted. And while we are having our wine and ignoring everyone else around us who is wearing Fest clothes and
swirling
talking loudly,
just long enough to make it look like we cared before getting another one.
Yeah. To be like, swirl, 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 chug. And then like, yeah, you know, I need like the full taste. Fill the glass. And the guy's like, I don't give a fuck. This is my last thing, and just fills it up. And at one point, like, Matt and I are talking quietly and just ignoring everyone else, and someone turns and they go, "You're Pietro the poet."
Oh my god.
And I went,
"They knew you had a name."
The full on, yeah.
And I went,
"Shit.
What?" And Matt just looks at me like, what the fuck just happened?
Because you've only worked there a few years. I've been there fucking since 1996.
And they didn't give a shit out about you.
Literally since 96.
I remember the 1900s.
Because I was part of the opening gate show. And they started quoting my lines in the opening gate show.
Oh my god.
Yeah, dude.
And it started off as Matt being like, why the fuck are you being recognized? And after like 5 minutes go by, Matt's got this look of like, I'm glad it's not me being recognized.
Do you need me to like pull up real quick, right? Like screech and open the door for you so you can get in and we can just book it the fuck out?
It's like we're slowly backing away.
Do you need a safe word? Like,
all right,
the safe word is harder.
Jenna, you said you had a story, and while we're getting that ready, do we have Keith nearby to get him up here to take care of some of these challenges? If not, is there a Kyle in earshot?
There's a
Kyle. There is a Kyle.
Cool. I'm going to step away from Mike.
We did it, Kyle. Yeah.
Okay. So this story is actually a Bill Young story.
Yay.
He had a gig out in Alexandria.
Ooh.
Right? Like butt-ass middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And so we go to this gig. Like I was very supportive, and I would go with him for some of these things. And it was like just driving out, like it's like an hour, hour and a half, some shit like that. Just fuck off all the way there. So middle of nowhere, Minnesota. And he does this gig. And afterwards, we're just kind of hanging out. And, you know, audience will come up and say, hey, good job, or things like that. And so this woman comes up and she's like, hey, good job. And then she walks over to me and she's like, you do vilification tennis.
Oh.
And Bill, like, looks over and he goes,
stolen.
Fucking even here? Like, I can't get away from you fuckers. I tell better dick jokes than you guys. What the shit is going on? This is my goddamn show. Like, it just was. And she's like, do you know him?
That's even better.
Yeah, that's my husband.
I've heard
like,
a lot about your dick, she says.
Yeah. She's basically like, oh, yeah, you were funny.
He's my
and
attaché.
And continues to talk to me about vilification tennis
this
for like the
driver,
next 10
Kato.
Minutes.
I have a story, too.
Yeah?
It's a short one, but...
Okay, it's like
so,
you. Okay.
Exactly. So out at Fest, my wife is also a performer out at Fest, but... By dint of me doing vilification tennis and you know a bunch of street and you know Casimir and stuff like that, when we're out, you know, if I am often recognized,
right?
You know,
And so, like, there was one day we were out, and this person saw my wife and was like, oh, you know, I saw you at Fez, blah, 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 and just proceeded to gush at her and ignore me. And they walked away, and my wife just looks at me and goes, ha!
Yes! Excellent. I like your wife. She's pretty fantastic.
She's pretty. Oh,
I'm pretty fond of her.
Can I tell you a quick Salsa's wife story?
Oh.
Whoa.
I tread lightly, my friend.
It's okay. He said quick.
So,
oh, so it's a story about me.
So earlier today, one of our fellow Fearless members, Nancy, did a set and needed someone to do like a drum roll. And so Salsa was like, yeah, I'll get a drum and we'll do that. And then you had your lovely wife swing by and drop off the drum. So I was sitting out in the lobby here at the lovely Phoenix Theater, and Salsa's standing outside, and we're like, what the fuck is he doing? Like, he's not having a cigarette. I'm like, no, that's the look of a man waiting for someone to drop something off, or they're just going to pull over and then take off.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. Megan's like, oh, good point. And so Megan and I are sitting there. This car pulls up. Salsa runs over, opens the back, pulls out a drum, and like there's a quick like hey from the people inside to Salsa, and as that pulls away, Megan goes, God damn. Salsa's wife and her sister look so similar.
Oh my god.
I said, you know they're twins, right?
Oh my god, yes.
She was, ah. Oh. Because later on, earlier tonight, her friend Robin and Robin's twin sister came to watch the shows we did.
Yes.
She's like, well, I can totally tell them apart. I'm like, yeah, and I can totally tell the Sterlings apart. Yeah. You just have to be around them long enough.
Yeah.
But she right. That was the first time I think she'd ever even seen the two of them together
That's
in
fair.
A room.
Yeah.
She's like, wow, are they like what, like a year apart? They look so similar. Like,
I got to actually babysit them growing up out at Fest. Like, babysit. Like, hey, you're babysitting now, and just go play, and like adults are kind of watching.
Yeah,
the
also make sure you don't
thing.
Stab each other. Yeah,
yeah, they look so the incredibly similar as kids, and like
it's, twins.
Yeah, yeah, but like,
did you just come back?
We just talked
this
about
is this. Literally the
yeah,
this
but
the
holy mansplaining, Batman.
Oh, wait, no. To be clear, I didn't say, well, actually, they're twins, Jenna.
Are you mansplaining?
Yeah, hold on. Yeah. The two women over here can tell you that you don't need to say, well, actually, to
right.
be mansplained.
Yeah, there was
not how
there.
It works.
But no, like the only way you could tell them apart when they were kids was one of them had a birthmark. Yep. And you had to look for it, mm-hmm. like right on the nose.
Well, no, when I first started the fest, we all worked front gate together, and
yeah.
I could never tell.
Yeah, and now it's like now at least you're like, oh, are they like a year or two apart? Like they do look very different, like different enough now. But like, yeah, back then there was no telling.
Yeah,
because
I met them when they were probably what 15, 16, something
probably
like that.
Probably about that.
And never could understand it,
yeah.
which they took great joy in making fun of me for. Yeah.
By the way, they're like a few years younger than me. They grew breasts before I did, and it pissed me right the fuck off.
Jenna, I grew breasts before you.
I know.
Random.
Literally the first words I ever said to my future wife was, "Hello, sister's name."
Oh my god!
Our relationship went upwards from there.
It had nowhere else to go.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
So what you're saying is you set a low bar.
How did you recover
yes,
from that?
So
Eric, what are we doing?
So we have
That's
some
magic.
We have some challenges that have been coming in from one J. Ashton Green with a note that says, please do now, as these were piling up. So I believe the request is that these are done during the podcast. So we're
all
going
right.
to hit
Makes
these.
Sense.
So first off, we have a snack that is going to Salsa.
Woo! Ooh, Salsa gets some mini Oreos.
Mini Oreos!
We have a soda form for a Blue Sun Soda Shop donation. That soda is for one of the good sodas we were given.
Yeah.
So Matt gets a nice treat.
I get a birch Aww. Beer made of cane sugar.
Yeah.
Oh, I fucking love birch beer. You fucking
so
asshole. I hate you so much.
I will
much.
Share
that's
with you if you'd like.
Okay.
They're super good. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
No,
I'm better now. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. That's what's up.
So Jenna, you're full of ire towards Matt right now, right?
Yes. Oh, so much.
There
collar.
Is a there,
collar.
Wait. So there is a. As much as I want to do this, Jenna can't take the Bean Boozled beans because they may have coconut in them, mm-hmm. and Jenna will die.
Close to it, yeah.
So,
as much as we want that, we want to be the cause.
We want to be the non-culpable cause.
Right.
God, and, yeah. And rehearsed this.
That's the word.
And also, so there was a Bean Boozled Bean for Jenna and a Jenna Young package for Jenna.
Oh my God.
The note is AON Chaos. now, to clarify, one is making somebody pick a bean that is either tasty or not, and we have no idea. And the other one is letting someone give out five of them. There are six of us up here. Well, and Jenna can't have one.
Spell A-O-N
I can't have one. No, I get this.
Yes, but Jenna, I'm going to point out that there are actually... seven of us on stage.
I was just thinking about that.
Hi, Kyle. How you doing? Yeah. Kyle, why don't you pick one of those bad boys off of yourself?
For those listening on the audio stream later, Kyle is still on stage.
And then I'm looking. There are four other dudes on this stage. So
get him. Get him.
Yeah. Get him. Fucking well, actually, me without a well.
Yeah.
Actually, motherfuckers.
Mansplain them beans, motherfucker.
Yeah.
This is either toothpaste or blueberry. I hate both of those things.
Yep.
Good.
You're welcome.
I've got spoiled eggs.
Not me.
I don't know.
I only
get
five.
But someone has to take yours.
Someone has to take mine. I thought that I had to have a different thing happen to me.
We can give you a kendo hit instead.
I think I will take the kendo hit.
Okay.
Lauren.
I don't know
Thank
what flavor
you.
That was.
Why are you eating a jelly bean?
Because
fuck you. No,
well,
I have
because,
five.
Because she gets to give out five to anyone
I
she
can
chooses.
Give out five, but then there was the fair. Other one. That's so fair. The five dudes the get the beans. I'm right. getting a kendo hit. Lauren, you're welcome.
Thank you.
You've been sitting here like patiently listening to,
to all your Renfest
like,
stories that I have no Renfest association stories, to because like, I don't work out whatever. At Renfest.
No, to be fair, you do show up once a year, get adorably drunk.
Yeah.
And come to our shows and tip pretty well. So
Lauren,
you're, right.
you're good people.
Did you get stinky socks or Tutti Frutti?
I have no idea. It wasn't good, though.
Probably the socks.
It was probably the stinky socks.
Okay.
Yeah, I got that one, too.
Here's the
thing.
I got
blueberry and I'm still pissed.
Yeah.
Oh, coconut.
I got rotten egg.
See, that's why I don't get to have them because you got the coconut. And yep. I've got no idea. Can I pick who's giving me the kendo hit?
Sure, yes. But I should also note that this entire stack is kendo hits.
Whoa.
Oh, good.
Two. So we have another one for Jenna.
I get two.
So Matt, one. Salsa,
damn it.
James,
oh.
Lauren, oh. and Eric. So we all get one, and Jenna gets two.
Oh.
So, and I think
choose huh. wisely.
You just want to line up. I can.
Yeah,
I think that's the most fair.
Hold on, Eric. I can kind of see that slip. Is she still mad about Honeytown season two? I can't do anything about that.
yes, she is.
Yeah. Oh my God. All right.
So let me clarify and.
Should we continue?
First off, we should get a location that is a mic turned around with the person in front of it, so hopefully they can oh, okay. hear the hits.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Visual joke on an audio.
All right, so for James...
Nobody fart.
James, your hit is for being new to AON.
Oh, God damn it. It hurts enough already. Oh!
Oh, God.
It's really fun to mic this. Yeah.
All right.
I guess I should get on.
Salsa is next. Salsa is for being the last original AON.
Yes. Oh, my God. All right, so Lauren?
Wait. It looks like Matt's on his way.
Matt's next?
Yep.
Okay.
I need two? All right. Stereo?
Yep. Yeah, surround sound.
Matt's is for leaving AON.
Here we are. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God, you went on the hard part. Motherfucker. James. Middle of the stick, not the end.
Lauren?
Yeah.
Where is News from Honeytown season two?
I'm Leslie Johnson, and I too would like to come back.
I'm yes. Michael Vernon, and I don't believe she has any idea what she's talking about.
Is it weird that I'm spanking an octopus?
It's weird that we're miking
that at
it.
Some point.
mine is also for Where Is News from Honeytown Season 2, and Jenna has no comment, so...
No comment?
There is one for me
Jenna's
and two for Jenna
record.
Left, so
I'm
let's
off
do
the
these.
All right.
While we're standing up and milling, I need to leave the stage for just a second. I'll be right back.
What? Oh God. All
Salsa's
right.
Take
somebody mic this. somebody mic this.
Hold your hand and run.
Lauren,
back.
You got this? Yes.
Yeah,
just
I'll hold
do
your
it.
Hair back while you poop.
To be fair, my hair is long enough. Sometimes I need to shift this shit. So.
Oh!
All right, I'm gonna come get mine.
There's no good yes. parties with these onesies.
No, yeah.
No, the onesies fair. Actually make it.
What's
worse.
That?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Oh God.
I get Laura, two.
The fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do this, and I'll mic it.
All right.
Here, I work on a play with Jenna
right,
later.
I'm not left-handed.
So.
Yeah, that's smart.
Aww. I'm gonna hit in the back.
Oh yeah, you are. Yeah. I'm on. Might get a twofer if you wind up a little.
Whoa!
Okay. That was right on the curve, like the undercurve.
Sorry, I'll aim higher.
There was like a lift.
It does. It lifts and separates.
Yeah.
Great
ass for this shit, you guys.
I mean, yeah.
My butt bounces.
All right.
We found it.
And the last thing we have from one.
Ow, my butt.
Jay Ashton Green. Is.
Yeah, thank you.
Lauren.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You get bubble wrap.
And
the comment is technical difficulty replay.
Oh.
Oh.
And also of note, James,
yes?
You also got bubble wrap
yes.
from Kyle.
Aww.
Sorry I wasn't in a puppet.
Oh my God.
He farted directly on me when we were standing backstage just before High Five Guys. I love you, Kyle. But damn it.
So thank you, Jay Ashton Green.
Salsa, what have you got in the box?
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
You. I knew that was going to happen.
I also have something for James.
Oh.
Is
it his birthday?
Merry Christmas to you.
No.
Merry Christmas.
This is a present, and while James reads the top... And I wonder if he gets the...
Oh, no! I know exactly what
yep.
this is before I even open it.
Yep.
Well, read it.
What does the top say, maybe?
Merry belated Christmas, you filthy sauna bench. Sauna
what does the top say?
Is that like a sauna bench? Or
sauna bench.
Like a sauna.
Sauna,
like a,
yes.
So
okay.
I'm going to let James unwrap
like
this.
Okay,
how many vowels are in that, James?
Sauna.
To yep. be fair, as many as we need, is accente.
Is accente. Oh, my God.
So, while James opens this, I will give a little bit of the backstory. James and I used to work at the same company.
Twice.
Wait, which one?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Because I got him the job at the place that I still work at right now. And... every Friday, we have something called Meat Club. And at Meat Club, one person brings the protein, and the rest of the people bring... It's basically a potluck, but we call it Meat Club.
Ew. Sure.
Yeah. But one person, you
no,
know, and
good.
And people I'm sign good. Up for the different dishes that they're going to... people sign up for the different dishes that they're going to bring for that week. And you know, of course, one person always brings the beverages. And one week... Somebody brought a case of Coke Zero. And nobody touched it.
Yep.
And every single week after that, that case of Coke Zero went to Meat Club. And nobody ever touched it. And that single case of Coke Zero sat around for months. And finally, it became a running gag between
Jesus fucking
this
Christ.
Guy and another one of our coworkers that... They
oh
would
God.
Give each other a delicious can of Coke Zero. And the other one would get to work the next day, and there would be two cans of Coke Zero at their desk.
Oh, God.
And the next day, the other person would get there, and there would be three
God.
Cans. And it was an arms race. And so our coworker, Ben, has gifted you all of the Coke Zero that he has been stockpiling
as
since you left the company.
Literally a lifetime supply.
Oh, my God.
You know what? You know what? Ben, I love you, man. I'm going to crack one of these right now.
And I am not joking, by the way.
Oh, my God.
He has literally been saving these since James left the company.
Holy crap. Well, and the best part about this is that we never just say it's a Coke Zero. It's always a cool, refreshing...
ice cold, yes. Refreshing Coke Zero.
I want to point out, it's not a big box.
No,
this is the thing. He had two 12-packs. And his wife gave them to her mother because she was like, you're never going to give it to this guy. And now he's like, no, I was. I was going to do that.
I had a patsy. All right. I'm pouring one out for my homies so into my mouth.
This is
that
from
counts,
Ben.
Right?
Oh, God. This is not okay.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
James?
Oh, aspartame.
That tastes like love. That's what that is.
James, do you want to fortify that love with bourbon?
It can't hurt.
Bacon vodka, bacon vodka, bacon vodka, bacon vodka, bacon vodka.
You know what? No.
Bacon vodka,
bacon
vodka.
Someone has to pay for that.
How much is it?
No, that's fair. That's
like 20
fair.
Bucks
that's
for a shot.
No, 20
bucks?
Someone would have to pay for that.
Yeah?
$20 for one shot?
I love how Salsa pulls out his wallet and pulls out a one.
Bacon vodka, bacon vodka, bacon vodka.
This is about to be a cherry bacon Coke Zero.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Do it.
Just
do
a little.
It.
No, dude.
Yeah,
just
man. Oh, yeah.
No. That's way too much.
Yes.
I mean, that's a shot. That's a shot worth.
I'm gonna say you ruined this Coke Zero.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
Yay, Jason.
Wow.
How long were you supposed to be on this podcast?
I have 7 more minutes. Yeah, I have until 4:30. Okay. So glad I've been here.
By the way,
so quietly.
All of that.
I want to let you know how much glee that I sincerely
let
think.
Let him know what happened.
There was. I'm not joking when there was chuckling coming from his
witness
cubicle
him.
While he
All
was
right.
rapping that.
I'm always shiny and chrome.
I do have a question, not to get into last names at all.
It's exophobia so bad.
This coworker, does their last name start with an L?
It does.
Oh. Hi Ben.
Oh.
Yay.
Oh, it Excellent. Lingers. You remember when we were licking your foot as part of the vilification tennis thing?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
This.
I blocked that out.
I have figured out what your fucking foot is.
No!
Oh,
it's cherry Coke Zero and bacon
vodka.
Ooh, Matt, wash your feet.
You know, that actually makes sense.
Yeah,
it does. Little foot spa.
To be fair, those are some of the funniest photos ever taken.
No, they are. Absolutely.
They really are.
Oh, poor
guy. Right up there with fireball off your ass.
Oh, my God.
That was also pretty dope.
Yeah.
More scarring.
I feel like after that conversation, I need to point out that fireball off his ass was an actual fireball.
Yeah.
Not the drink.
Dude, I legitimately thought you had to take shots off his ass.
No.
And I was picturing it like, you know, like belly button shots where like you have to like slurp it out.
No. I'm a carny. Like,
dude.
I'm a carny. When I say fireball, I mean
why are we
fire.
Skimming over this?
We're talking about literal fuel applied to my ass and a person blowing a fireball off of it, which, by the way, we should point out, happened twice. A year apart.
Fucking carnies.
I'm doing this.
Yeah. Now I do blockhead and eat glass and shit. It's way safer.
Yeah,
you know,
you've upgraded.
Here, I want you to just have a sip.
Yeah, do it.
Know what
do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Sip.
Do it.
Sip.
Do
sip.
It.
Sip. Sip. Sip.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Sip. Hold on.
Chug.
Matt.
Chug. 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 Chug.
Chug. Oh, wow. We actually got a good swig in there.
Nope. Yep.
Thank you, Cedius.
Woo.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
I want to point out that a flying squirrel just stole Salsa's dollar.
That was perhaps.
I also want to point out that I maybe have a power to, like, just, like, chant things to make them happen.
Yes.
To be fair, I used that power last year to make Salsa do the half... pumpkin spice, half coconut.
My God.
Oh, yeah.
Can you point out
Salsa! Salsa! Chug, chug, chug,
no,
chug.
No. I just, in reference to that, by the way, I swallow swords and eat glass and stick nails up my nose and eat fire. And that half pumpkin spice, half coconut thing.
I watched
I'm going to speak for the women of the table again. swallowing's not great, but whatever.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So you might. I mean,
it's cleaner than spitting.
Nope.
So if you've been listening
quick,
to Matt,
you got
to
pay for that.
The flying squirrel picking up the money and running was perhaps the most majestic. Literally, from where we're at, it is all white light. We can't see anybody in the audience. So also, just foof.
Coming out. That's a really good point.
The majestic flying squirrel in its natural habitat.
Yeah.
So you might have heard you might have heard Matt and Salsa talking about some of the carny things they did earlier as part of a show that was here. So on that topic, I did stand up.
Bring it full circle to 45 minutes ago.
Yeah. Welcome to the AON podcast. This is what we do, bitches.
Our tangents are fractal.
How will they hear you over my delicious bubble wrap?
Probably pretty well.
Someone's using annoying. This for an ASMR video.
No, actually, I wanted to talk about the Questionable Choices show.
I want to hear about it.
That was awesome.
Thank you. That was terrifying.
My favorite part was neither of you.
I'm surprised.
Because my favorite part, my favorite part was Megan chewing the glass into the microphone.
I was so fucking hard.
No, like my skin crawled off of my body.
Goddamn proudest moment.
For those that weren't there, you know, didn't witness that part on the streaming or whatever, we did a sideshow thing, me and Salsa and Megan, and one part of Megan's shtick was to eat a light bulb.
Yep.
And so we had a lamp on stage that I flicked on and off a couple times so you knew it was a real light bulb. Then I put it in a plastic bag and smashed it with a hammer.
A clear plastic bag.
Clear plastic bag. So I just dropped it in a Ziploc bag, smashed it, and then just handed it to her, and she pulls out a hunk and starts chewing.
No.
So you know the sound like when somebody gets like a kettle chip?
Yeah.
So the really crunchy, like somebody bites onto a kettle chip without closing their mouth and you get that big crunch? It's like that times 20?
And the audience is kind of murmuring like, ooh, and then she goes, and it goes fucking stone cold silent.
Yeah.
And Salsa and I are in the back. Yes.
And then it's like 2 seconds go by. Then,
yep.
As she takes her second bite. No. And we had discussed this, before the show while we were planning and writing the show and stuff like that. And Megan was like, you know, I obviously won't be able to talk. You know, is somebody going to be able to do the talking? For me while I'm doing that. And I was like, no. This needs to be dead silent.
And
you need to do that right in front of the microphone because that is going to play.
A heart attack.
Oh my God.
It was so good.
Well,
there were 5 people around and in the box office watching that tiny. They could have walked in here at any time, but they were transfixed.
It was that where we got our biggest payoff for the entire good. Set. Wow.
I want to point out that she first debuted the insectivore thing at Give to the Max, which one of my favorite conversations happened when somebody who had come to see the show had no idea what was going on and was looking at the list that was for that show. And like, you know, the sword swallowing block, that kind of stuff. They're like, okay. And then I get the question, What's an insectivore? And I went, so herbivores eat plants.
Herbs.
And, carnivores eat meat.
Eat carnitas.
So insectivores eat. And then there was just an awkward silence for a few seconds while they waited for me to say something and then went, oh. And that same person was in the very front row. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
Watching everything until Megan walked forward. And as soon as she started to explain that she was about to eat a tarantula, the person goes, nope. Just gets up and walks to the back of the theater. Just out loud, just nope. As everything's going on stage, just gone.
Yeah, I think the first time Megan did the insectivore thing, she did a tarantula and I think what, just some grub worms, something like that?
Crickets.
Crickets.
I believe she acts.
I'm leaving because it's been 60 minutes and my time is up.
Lauren, why don't you just hang out for another 60 minutes?
For another 60
minutes.
Because that's $30, right?
Yes.
Well, that's going to happen.
Ah.
Oh, no, you got to keep
Thank you, James.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, 60 Ooh. Minutes of accent day.
Oh, no.
Accent day, accent hour, but, accent drinking.
And I'm, my favorite part after work is going to the bar for accent hour. The drinks are more expensive, but damn, does it sound funny.
It's imported, ooh la la.
And I want to point out that I believe it was an accident that she was right next to the mic.
It's accident day.
It's accident day. But no. she was talking, like she was explaining what she was about to do, and she didn't step back away from the mic, and she was still standing right there when she took a bite, and the crunch echoed through the entire house, and everyone went. And then she looked up and went,
an accident.
Oh. And then leaned into the mic for the second bite, like mouthful of, like, ah, and just this big crunch, and everyone's like, huh, and she's like, okay.
It was like a furry got this. Pork rind.
Oh, God.
Oh, man, when you said furry.
No, that's the thing. A bunch of us, like a half dozen of us, were sitting backstage.
Lauren, furry pork rind, not furry pork grind.
Oh, my bad.
A half dozen of us were sitting backstage, and she walked through with it, and we were like, oh, that doesn't seem so bad. And then somebody was like, but what about all of that hair? And then everyone went,
oh, no.
I distinctly remember her opening the bag that it came in and her going, oh, it's hairy. Backstage, and everyone went, oh, let me see. And then looked at it, and when they looked at it and confirmed that it was hairy, they're like, oh, I'm out, and walked away.
The life of a sideshow carny is glamour.
Yeah. There's a couple things that we actually had in the work. There's actually some insects downstairs we didn't even use today.
Yep.
And there's other things that we didn't quite have time to prepare. So there's more of that to come.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. No, when the next stunt that I have planned is going to make Matt hurl.
Oh, good. I'm super excited for that.
We talked about that Megan and I would do. There's some weird shit, dude.
No,
I believe I explained to you why that won't work.
No, legitimately, we have a stunt that is in the works for Matt and Megan that I believe has never been done before.
Oh, yeah.
It's
because it's really dumb.
It's extremely stupid.
Super,
so stupid dumb. And super dangerous, and I have a hard-on just thinking about it.
Salsa, really quick, I also want you to know that during the Questionable Choices show, Nancy's nephew wandered up to the booth at the moment that you were putting the sword into your mouth, and he's like, oh, that guy's got like that's a trick sword. And I was like, nope, it's a real one. And he went, ah, whoa. Ah. And I was like, hold, there's the bow. And he went, no.
Jenna, didn't you have a date like that once?
Lauren, I'd love to say yes, but I cannot swallow a sword like Salsa can swallow a sword. I'm just...
Yeah, I did a... I did.
Although I do...
You know, Jenna, practice makes perfect.
I do always bow at the end, so...
I had my parents and my son in the audience for that, which I hadn't intended.
Wait, Jenna's bow?
Wait, what? Yeah, for Jenna's bow? Exactly. They held up scorecards. Uh-oh. My son's the Russian judge. But no, my parents and my son were in the audience while we did our sideshow bit. And I warned them that this was not going to be their cup of tea. The boy is super into it because he's watched us rehearse these things at home. So he knows how they all work and why they're dangerous and why he can't do them.
Right.
My parents do not like things that I do where I get hurt. Or even the appearance of me getting hurt.
Right.
So
So how did they go to any of your shows?
They honestly, how often do you see my parents at our shows?
That's fair.
Yeah, good point.
Right?
Yeah.
But to be fair, like, honestly, he gets hurt more at vilification tennis shows than he did at this show.
Well, not
just
anymore.
Just to back that, Matt and I did Murder on the Mississippi together, where my character is just a total bitch to his character, and they fucking went after me for it. Yeah. They were not having my character being mean to him.
Protective. Yeah, like they're delightful. They love me. And
they're so cute.
Yeah, they're the sweetest parents. My parents are the Cleavers.
I love them.
Yeah.
But was like, you know, it'd be cool if he could swing by the boy for a little bit because they had him for the weekend. And I was like, that'd be neat if he can, and he'd like this show. You guys, honestly, like, this isn't going to be your thing. It's like the sideshow stuff I do. And they're like, no, it's fine. We like supporting you and whatever. They left before I got back upstage from pulling the staples out and putting Band-Aids on. They were gone. Yeah. And the boy is just sitting here going, I'm not sure where Grandma and Grandpa went. Yeah. But they said you'd buy me lunch.
Oh, my God, that's fantastic.
Because we got done. I had $112 stapled to me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
With a staple gun. And there's no gag on that. It's just a staple gun.
No, it's classic sideshow.
Yeah, so for those of you that are here in person, you can see. But the...
That has been simmering in there.
My God.
But if you're here, I'm just covered in little snake bites.
Yeah.
No. All over my body. And that we ended up making $112. I was surprised we made any.
Oh, God, I can smell it at the end of the table.
That's right. That's his own personal
I'm gonna
musk.
I'm going to bury myself in bacon vodka.
Good luck
with
that. But they just dipped. And got bandaged up, got over being a little woozy from losing the adrenaline, mm-hmm. and then went upstairs, got the boy, and he and Megan and I went out and had lunch. That reminds me, I have scotch eggs in the refrigerator downstairs. Fuck yeah. I know, right?
Not for long.
Where did you get...
You don't know which fridge.
where did you get them?
I will check.
Red Cow.
I know which fridge.
They're really good, too.
I'm going there.
Yeah, they're very good.
I know which fridge.
God damn it, you do. Anyway, so we come back from lunch, and my dad's like, hey, what time should we have with the boy? I'm like, I don't know, 2? 2's great. So they show up at 2. And they, I was like, oh, shit, Lyritics are about to go on. Austin would probably dig this, and my parents would probably dig it. They're really great. And they come in and they're like, hey, Austin, like, do you have fun? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, hey, guys, do you want to hang out and watch the next show? It's a music act. I think you guys like it. They're like, no, we're good. So do you have fun, Austin?
I'm like, oh, my God.
I have a challenge to announce. We got a donation to put Jason and Kayla on the podcast.
Yay!
For the next 60 minutes, which will almost take us to the end.
Nice.
That will take us to
the end. Welcome back.
No, 60 minutes will take us to the end.
Thank you, anonymous donor.
Yay.
Welcome back.
We want Kayla over in the chick corner.
Chicks.
Oh, no. Chicks. Don't throw me in the briar patch, she says.
So,
yeah. Do I have a line on my face from the pillow I was just
You got to sleep, you motherfucker.
So I feel like I need to point out that the first time I met your mom was at... Was
it slow?
No.
No.
At like one of the Renfest Mall of America things.
Oh.
And I no, absolutely not.
Oh my God.
And you were like, hey Mom, this is Eric. He's the one that planned this thing, which was something that Matt did that was stupid. And she like stepped forward and put her fists up like she was gonna punch me. And then Matt goes, he also directs Honeytown. And she goes, oh, and then gives me a big hug.
I want the soundbite of what just happened right now. That's going to be my new ringtone, is the rest of us doing like creepy, pornish kind of music, and Eric telling a shitty story about
him. Ouch. You know what? No more coffee for you.
You're at our house now.
Oh, no. Not good.
I have a delicious, refreshing Coke Zero if you want one.
It was only shitty in the context of the porn music.
That's
it wasn't
fair.
That the story itself was bad.
Fine.
Just with everything else going on.
You can keep your coffee.
I'm kind of tempted to try to get a few of us in a room and do a cover album of porn music.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Acapella porn music?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
My dream.
This is TM. Yes. We own this.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay.
It's an album. It's an album called How Will I Ever Pay for This Pizza?
You guys.
Yeah.
No, like, serious.
This is an untapped market.
Shut the fuck up. Serious, you guys, for a second. Let's do this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm into
here.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I want, okay, okay. So we're all seriously, we're doing this right now.
I already have the name.
Okay.
Our album label is Untapped Market.
Okay,
I already have the name.
James, start this.
Oh, yeah.
The system is down.
Yes!
I could not help it.
Ladies and gentlemen,
yes!
Buckle up for the sex.
We have been fuckapella.
A joke 8 years in coming.
I had a date like that once.
Right now I'm expecting to hear like
I did go to music
as Lyritic slowly snaps and walks in off the side of the stage. And then just smashes us and then walks away.
I would be so happy with that.
Oh, I agree.
Defeated by lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
I just want it to happen.
So do you think whoever bought these two back on here expected any of that shit to happen?
I don't know, but I'm so happy.
Probably.
This would not have been the same without you. Oh, my God. And that soundbite will be my ringtone.
No. Doesn't suck. God damn.
The whiskey.
I have Four Roses.
The whiskey is on stage. Yes.
Yes.
you do not get it for the shot challenge. I'll guarantee you that.
You just asked if it was here.
It is in fact here. Yes. Well done. All right. Oh, Matt's PayPal.
I feel like
right
you need
now.
To type this all with a middle finger. Is what I'm thinking.
I want to point out that we have two lovely bottles of True Stone Coffee, yes. And one of them we're almost all the way through. But that means we still have one full bottle of delicious cold press. So,
hey, do you want to put a little of that in here so I can mix in some refreshing Coke Zero and bacon vodka?
No.
Like that.
I'm hoping it will taste better.
No.
Look, True Stone is really good. True Stone is fantastic. In fact, True Stone is the best. But it's not fucking magic, all right?
I'm going to make this happen, though.
See, I want to point out that someone who might be intelligent would have put the shot of bacon vodka in a glass and then added some Coke Zero.
Nope.
Instead of making like 16 ounces of bacon vodka.
Oh, no,
cherry,
I tried
Coke
to protest.
Zero.
Hey, Matt.
Did
you specify Enchanted. Which alcohol you get a shot of?
No, I actually realized I'm wearing a onesie and don't have a credit card.
Yeah.
I was going to say dealer's choice.
Enchanting?
Yeah.
Manchanting?
No, I don't like it.
So apropos of nothing. What do you want to talk about?
I remember.
No, I remember.
Someone trying to get a podcast back on the rails?
I know, right?
Hey, Lauren, what have you been up to?
What is rails?
What?
What is this?
I've been coordinating hosts for Die Laughing.
Woo. Oh, my God.
Can you say that in a more accent day?
You know, I've just been up to coordinating hosts for Die Laughing Marathon going on April 4th. 6th through 8th.
How do you like it, you jerk?
Can I just, by the way, say her idea of accent is talk really loud?
If I scream it, I'm from somewhere.
Wait. So you have participated in Accent Day before.
Oh, yes, I have.
I'm just going to go ahead and say, do fuck yourself.
Oh, okay.
Do.
Do fuck. Do fuck yourself.
Yes.
That is Fuckapella's number two track.
That's when we went commercial and sold out.
It needs to be more angry in German.
Do fuck. Do fuck yourself. Do fuck. Do fuck yourself.
Man, anyone that's tuning in right now is going to be really confused.
No, they're going to flip to the channel. They're going to be like, seems right. Next.
Somewhere
somewhere like, somebody is slowly falling asleep to this, being like, man, Stranger Things got real weird.
No, someone's going, fuck it, it's too much Pornhub.
Katie.
Even better, somebody is just waking up and going, what is going on?
So Katie, like, just got off work. And she's like, I should check in on Die Laughing. And opens it up and sees, God damn it.
Speaking
Would
of which,
you like making fuck berserker?
If I may take a quick moment of sincerity, one of the things I do actually miss from doing AON and hanging out with the High Five guys more frequently is there's a certain number of international listeners that I hear from less frequently who still support us during Die Laughing and are fucking dope because there's many times they're the only people awake because why else would you be? Because they're time shifted 10, 12, 15 hours, whatever it is. And they're the ones that are often watching us do this live. Yeah. So thank you if you're one of those people.
Yes, thank
we truly love that.
I along those lines, I have to point out that we did improvise Twilight Zone yesterday at this point.
Yeah.
Almost around this time.
Almost 12 hours ago.
Yeah. So
24. God damn it.
That's hard. Atta girl, Lauren.
It's okay.
So we had a 6:30 a.m. show.
Yeah.
So I had my wake-up call at 5 because there's no way I'm waking up quickly. And I walk up here, and it was Heather Zastera, who is currently still on streaming. And I walk over, and I'm like, how are things going? And she goes, oh, the Canadians are discussing things. And apparently they still are.
Can we do a song for the Canadians?
And that was when I looked at things and it was saying things like I like how that my the name that they're gonna see isn't the same name they know me by, so they don't necessarily know it's me donating to them. And very like Minnesotan passive aggressive, like, I'm gonna give them punishments, but they won't know it's for me.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah.
Ashton.
We might have seen a fuck ton of those during the course of the podcast.
Yeah, a lot about Honeytown. God damn it.
By the way, I'd just like to point out, there are international people right in Canada and Australia and other places, England, that have been watching and donating, so what's your excuse?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Dead Midwestern guilt.
I know, right?
I don't know if I ever said thank you to AON, but you actually netted, when the awful copter, the 4 years that we ran, you netted us one of our best listeners. Stefan Senpai.
Yes.
We got his attention in the middle of the fucking night during one of these Die Laughing marathons. It was, in fact, our first Die Laughing marathon during which I recited the clown joke. And we just got a tweet back that was, what the fuck did I just watch? And then he stuck with us for another 3 years.
That's astounding.
Yes. Yeah. So I have AON to thank and Die Laughing to thank for our beautiful Stefan Senpai. So thank you. And I'm very pleased to be a part of the shenanigans.
So what's the best show you've seen so far?
Thank you.
What's the best show you've seen so far, Matt?
Oh, man, that's rough. We have to pick one we're not in, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. God, damn, that narrows it down significantly.
Were you gonna pick your own show as like your favorite?
It can be a show you were in as long as you know if it
as
was one of those
like, your bit, exactly, like epic exactly, lip sync,
exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
That's real tough. If it's something I'm 100% not involved in, I honestly gotta say it might be Fraudini.
Sure.
Because God damn it. Somehow, if there was like a bat phone to my funny bone, that dude's got it. It destroyed me. It was so goddamn good. And this is not to insult anyone else, because there's so much great work. If it's a show I was at least tangentially involved in, the one that I hate to admit it because it scared me so much, but it was really fun once I got on stage and it was too late to be scared, was doing White Male Privileged Dancers again.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I hate that show because it's so scary. But I love doing it once I'm on stage. So that's a big thank you to Jenna for creating that show.
Yes.
I'm super happy. Oh, by the way, thank you for that. I hate producing that show so hard. Like, I don't like watching my friends get naked.
Yeah. To be fair, I was completely clothed.
That was my college experience.
But it's like people that like I've known for like as long as I've known Jessa and or longer, just like taking their clothes off in a sexual way. I'm like, ah, gross. But also it's like it's the one show that I produce for Die Laughing that I'm not like coordinating everything out. It's my one production. Mm-hmm. I don't have the time for that shit. Mm. I'm busy trying to pull together like music files and stuff,
dude,
and
shit
it's like,
takes effort.
Oh
yeah,
fuck you.
Yeah, I don't care.
I, also, that show came. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say that show came from AON.
It did.
That show right. From yeah. This yeah. Show. It
you
was.
You two fuckers were like, it came I from could do a burlesque bet. Better. And I'm like, yeah, prove it.
That turned into a
yeah,
show.
The two of you are like,
it turned into a show
better.
Where the audience could measure your dicks.
I will say, I appreciate that it's evolved so far beyond the initial idea of like, wouldn't it be silly if? And now it's like, oh, this is actually like, it's much like Epic Lip Sync.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's very performative and very competitive.
I was it's really deeply cool. Impressed.
Yeah, and I love that it's kind of grown beyond the and it's more like. Like, people are putting serious thought and effort into this and trying out new forms of experience. We had ballet.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. That was way different than the burlesque that this started from.
That was really great, yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that it gives white dudes an opportunity to express themselves in a different way and, like, express comedy in a different form than they're used to doing. I think that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I love
it. Are you about
strong.
To ruin this?
Because white dudes need more opportunity.
Emotionally, yes, kind of, actually.
Yeah.
I'm not, like in being able to express themselves in artistic, pretty, mm-hmm. and emotional ways, yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, that's the one place where you guys are lacking.
I absolutely loved being a part of that show the couple years that I was in it.
Yeah.
I offered when you were trying to find people this year, and I said, I could do the show. But it is the only time that I have more than a 5-hour block that I could actually sleep this weekend. Yeah. And Jenna said, no, you are not allowed to do this show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Your idea was astounding, and I hope to see it. I hope to take part in it.
Eric, I will also say I have not had a 5-hour block of sleep at all.
Oh, no, I didn't say I slept. I had a 5-hour block where I could sleep.
Oh, fuck you then,
God
asshole.
Damn it, man.
All right.
Let's interject really quick. I got a soda.
Nice.
From J. Ashton Green.
Yes.
Oh. It is a cherry strawberry.
The
soda.
The comments say fuck a Pella.
Oh, so,
I also got
sold. Band camp, here we come.
I got a snack myself from J. Ashton Green. Which also says fuck a Pella.
It's already putting food on our table.
hey Matt. Oi. Guess what I got?
Oh!
Oh,
I got a bag of gushers as a thing yesterday, but I gave it to the boy this morning.
It's gonna be like
that was a mistake.
Yogurt. Well, you know what, Matt? You shared your birch beer with me.
Oh,
sure did. So you're gonna say fuck up.
James, favorite show so far?
I'm gonna pass this one down. Nice. It's already drippy, so have fun.
Favorite show so far?
I'll handle it on the way.
Yep, please do.
Probably. Oh God,
Jason, you got it.
Oh, Jason.
Oh yeah.
I'm actually going to do both hands. There we go.
James, now, favorite show?
My favorite show so far has been this one.
Really?
I fucking love you guys. I listened to both of your shows long before I was on either of your podcasts. And now that I am legitimately,
involved.
Now that I am the uncle in the picture, I fucking love it.
You are already on the show. You don't need to suck up anymore.
I know, baby. It's just a service I provide.
Pause. Eric.
Yes, Jenna.
Does. Yes,
that's fair.
No, never
but not to me.
You can be replaced.
Yep.
Trust me, you can be replaced.
My favorite joke from our podcast was when Salsa wasn't there for a week, and we were like, we always said Salsa could be replaced, but we never knew before that he could be replaced by nothing.
yeah.
That was a good week too.
Yeah. I think our listenership went up. Yeah. Number of downloads and
Oh yeah.
Jason?
Eat that mic. So for me I got due to the fact that I've been running streams so much,
I get to watch pretty much everything. But one of the ones that makes me really want to see it come back is Bad Advice with Siri.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
That was so good. That was so good.
Holy shit.
The delivery. Oh, yes, yeah. Yes. And, like, not just from the lady in a box, so the Siri and Alexa, but also Jason's component to it. Like, the entire thing was absolutely brilliant.
As Jason trio, plays hapless. Very
absolutely.
As a trio, those three are fucking amazing.
It was really funny.
Yeah, when they cast that show, they did that perfectly.
Thank you.
the Fearless, that was the from The Five, right?
Yeah, that was my show.
That
from
was the
Fearless
show Eric directed.
Yeah. And it was written by Keith DeLune.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Keith, another often unseen, but
Izzy, Kyle,
member. Carl,
of
Kevin.
Kelvin, you're right, I'm sorry. Yeah. Kelvin, an unseen but incredibly valuable member.
Kanye,
My favorite part about that group is as we were planning things,
right here on the back.
All I really had to do was aim them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like when they did something and I'm like, all right, let's do more of this. Mm-hmm. Or like, when you got mad and you went in this direction and did that thing, keep that and do that again. And it was mostly just like, all right, play with it and let them kind of have some freedom and then go, all right, this is what we need.
Here's your motivation.
I've learned most of directing is proper casting. Mm-hmm. Mm. If you get the right people, they'll just do their
job. It's like 90% of the job is just casting the right people.
Let people do what they do.
Yeah.
It's great. Mm-hmm. Salsa?
Cool. I already said mine.
Did you?
It was Fraudini and Mary Jo Peele.
They were both very
exactly
and amazing.
No, like I actually like I had my wife and I have been texting over the weekend and of because we haven't seen each other and I was talking was like you know I'm actually after 7:30 my shifts are done and I'm going to be able to get some sleep and then I was like okay it's time to go to bed at 7:30 and then I looked at the schedule and went Mary Jo Peele fuck
you got all up right. Two seats over from me he's like all right guys I got to go to bed. And then 3 minutes later, sat back and I'm like, fuck, it's Mary Jo Peele.
Yeah, no. I left to go catch as much sleep as I possibly could because it was my first opportunity in a very long time. And I got there and I was like, how much time do I have to sleep before my next show? And I was like, wait, I'm going to set an alarm to wake up and watch the stream for 30 minutes to catch Mary Jo Peele.
Yep.
And then I'm going back to sleep before the next show.
Nice.
No, it was... I was like, I'm going to bed, and I see Mary Jo Peele on the schedule. I'm like, okay. So I walk back in the theater, and it's Matt and Megan and our friend Tanya are sitting there. And all of them look at me with a quizzical look, and I just point at the stage. Yeah. And they all go, yeah.
Fair enough.
So I have to say that, unfortunately, because of the way my schedule worked out this year, I could not see Mary Jo Peele. But I do remember that a few years ago when she first joined us, Matt was backstage... When our backstage was basically we had the curtain and then a space behind the curtain where we could put a few things.
I was 4 feet that way.
Yeah. And Mary Jo Peele was doing her set, and during her set, she would tell a joke, and then from this like aimless place behind her, there would be this cackle where Matt heard the joke, and she would look back and be like, okay.
I think she thought it was like. I think she actually thought I was fucking with her at first, and then
like, someone back there like that one. And
yeah.
So I'm sorry I missed it, but
yeah. One of
man,
my
with this event, sometimes you have to make
finally,
a choice.
On that night, she finally poked her head through the curtain and was like, "Are you all right?" And I was laying on the floor laughing, and then she smiled like, "Okay." Because she realized I was actually laughing. I wasn't just being a prick.
Eric, what was your favorite show?
You said it's a show that we watched, right? So we weren't really in, but watched
a part of the show that okay. You were in that you were not involved with.
So a show that I mostly watched is Lounge Lizzie.
Oh my god!
Oh yeah,
god, good call.
Because realistically, realistically for that show, my character is the stage manager, and I do the intro, I handle logistics, I keep things moving. But mostly my job.
Hardest job.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You want to explain that?
Yeah, you have to keep a straight face.
I have to keep a straight face.
Actually, on that stage, I would say that is almost the hardest fucking job.
Right.
So there was one point where Aaron is singing something and they're doing like weird like,
little, like ho ho
Yes.
That was fucking gold. That was
and I believe what Matt said to me was, he's like, I was staring you down. And I was looking at you and I was laughing and I was going, why the fuck aren't you breaking, you motherfucker?
Yes.
And I'm sitting there going like, nope. Mm-mm. 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 And just like, I cannot break. This has to be just, I've seen this 1,000 times. This is just how this song goes. And God damn, that is such glorious. A lovely show.
All of the bacon vodka is settled to the bottom of this bottle.
Ugh. Not okay.
So this one's for Jenna.
Oh, aww. Why is there
you
stick?
You should read it, Jenna.
I should read it.
And oh. You should come over here.
Thanks, Becky.
Oh, shit.
What does it say? What does it say?
You reference visual comedy for an woo! Audio medium.
Oh, got a paper
TM. Back. Oh, God. You gave it to me. Oh, Kyle, you gave it to me backwards, you motherfucker. To Jenna from Becky, I told you. You have to credit me if you reference visual comedy for an audio medium.
Oh,
it's fair.
I got the mic up so we can get a good thwack on this.
So Matt's right ready to mic Jenna's butt.
White male comedian. I'm taking everything. I'm taking credit for everything. I know.
I think I saw a lip sync battle.
You can put that. Butt AV on your on your resume now, Matt.
This might get me an IMDb.
Did you know I have an IMDb entry and it sounds like porn?
What does that sound like?
I believe you are intimately familiar.
God. Wow.
As part of Fuckapella.
Yeah.
She truly pimped you for an opportunity to create a new porn song.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Woof. Swing and
Jesus. Yes. You complimented me earlier for being able to pick up and start. No. It's fucking too late. It is too late.
No,
seriously. It's done. It's done, James.
I'm so sorry.
This is the
number one rule of timing.
No. All right. Let me make it better by telling you what the entry on my IMDb is for.
Fine.
It's a film called Necessary Lubrication.
All right, Jenna, what's your favorite?
Yep.
I wasn't.
Bubble wrap.
How? I mean, okay. So I loved Lounge Lizzie, but I was actually on stage for part of that because
she was good.
There was the bidding war between myself and Kyle, and then he bought me a Lounge Lizzie song, and I don't know, man. I think somewhere in between her rubbing herself up against me and like putting her lips just like a centimeter away from mine, like this microphone barely keeping us apart. Or was it when she was in my... Look, it was a really good show, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, she does that.
Damn.
Yeah, that was good. I actually have not seen much this Die Laughing. I've been fixing issues and things like that. It's all small shit, but it's all the behind-the-scenes stuff. I was going to make time for a couple of shows that I just didn't get to see. However, there are a couple of shows that I absolutely positively had to see and made time for, and there was no Jess's shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
She did Official Ostrich Committee. They've started playing with extending their scenes.
Nice.
And they had some really good fucking scenes and some incredible callbacks with that. But I gotta say, Vilification Tennis.
Dude,
watching my daughter fucking tonight. Own that stage was brilliant.
She was savage fire.
Oh my God.
Holy shit.
She was like, I'm 17 and I'm not taking shit all from fuck all y'all.
It was good.
God damn.
It was so good. A friend of mine showed up who had never seen the show before, and all I could hear the entire time your daughter was on stage was him going, oh, holy shit.
Which in Vilten is sweet.
Yes.
This is not the reason I retired from Vilification Tennis,
but I'm happy. This is absolutely the reason I retired.
But I am happy that I did when I did, because,
I literally leaned over to, I was sitting by, Megan and Tanya and a couple other people, and I was like, this is why I quit. I couldn't make this good. It would be worse if I was up there.
Yeah.
They don't need me.
Right? Yeah, like our newer people over the past few years.
They're destroying it. And I'm like, yeah. I'm watching it going, I am baffled by what's happening. Even. It's all hoots and clicks to me. I can't do this anymore. Yeah.
I know, like the old man on the Twitter. Like,
yes! Yeah.
I know that Jenna teases me about being second place. about being second place to Jessa, but that's a pretty sweet fucking gig. She's really good. Yeah.
There's no shame in that gig.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Holy shit.
I think watching Ville tend to, number one, just being able to watch a Ville show and not have to worry about being a vilifier for that hour was nice. It's nice to get outside of that perspective and be like, all right, this is what the audience is looking for. But yeah, also just the mama pride of, yeah, that's my daughter saying that filthy shit on stage and owning it. Like, yes. I really haven't seen as much of the rest of Die Laughing as I would like. That's a little sad. Like, I'd like to see more, but I'm also making things go for other people so that they can see more, so I don't feel awful about it. Like, that's kind of my thing. I like doing that shit, so.
Well, that's like, I think almost all of us have done either tech shifts or hosting shifts or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, you don't really get to sit and enjoy
hosting shifts.
Right.
But like, but the point is you're like, you're facilitating the fun for other people, and that is very rewarding.
Yeah. I love that.
Like, I'm sad because there are people that even during my hosting shift, I saw maybe 4 minutes of.
Right.
You know, and it's like, that's a drag because they were really good, but like, you're busy checking in with the next person, and someone's going, hey, do you know where the, I don't know, maybe over here. And like, it's a drag on a personal level for not being able to just be an audience member. But if no one does that, then there is no show. I'm happy to be able to be part of it, even if I don't get to have the full sit back and just enjoy the splendor of what it is.
The full Monty.
Like, I was hoping to make time for Fraudini because I really wanted to see that. And I was all set to go. And then there was an issue that came up. And I'm like, son of a bitch. Well, all right, I'm handling this.
Yep.
Can we just...
Go ahead.
Can we just take a moment and give Jenna a round of applause?
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah.
For fucking organizing this whole fucking thing.
I'm still going. I don't give a fuck.
I had a date like that once.
Where you got the clap?
That just kept going.
Yes. I just kept going, but also the clap. I need to have a conversation with a few people later. Thank you. Somebody else needs to talk now.
Hey, Lauren, what was your favorite show?
I think just because I've never seen you do stand-up before, I think your stand-up set might have been it. Because, like, I've heard you say funny shit before, but, like, never in that same format. You know?
Right.
Like, it's different watching somebody put together a show than it is just hearing somebody be funny, like, out and about.
That was the thing we talked about earlier, where I got to watch people's sets get pieced together.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to watch Eric do parts of that.
Right.
And see how they changed. And so suddenly when he's doing a half hour, I was like, I don't know all this material, but I see the arc of it.
I am from what has brutally sad to have missed it.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a solid half hour.
Dude, I was so proud of you. It was so fucking good.
I tried so hard to be here for it. I'm sorry, man.
I hope I didn't
Don't
ruin
be.
My hyena laughter from the
If you didn't, I did with my show.
We should point out, we talked about how cool Keith is earlier.
Yes.
Cool Keith. Huh? But he might have died. He was hanging over there at the railing near the back doors by the sound booth.
Fuck, yeah.
Just losing it. Because if you ever, by the way, if you ever have the time and money to pay Keith to be at your show to laugh at you because you're funny, do it. Because there's no better laughter to have at your show than Keith, because he is like the happiest, most gentle and kind person that truly enjoys laughing at funny things. And he was just wiping tears and slapping the railing and like slouching down, like holding himself up, laughing so hard. And he and I are looking at each other like, what the fuck? So he may still be laying over there 20 feet from us. I don't know. I hope he's okay. But he may have just laughed himself into a coma.
And did he die laughing?
Oh, shit. Oh. We did it. Are we done?
We have reached in
5 years later. We finally did it.
And I don't,
Cornelius.
I don't remember what joke did it. It might have been the dessert joke, because that's still one of my favorite jokes. Stupid, and I'm more than happy to say it.
Please.
It's
It's like, I like going to dinner with people who like to order and split a dessert. Then I get 1.5 desserts.
Yes!
And the amount of, I think it was that joke, and the amount of laughter I got meant that I couldn't continue my set.
Oh, shit.
Because I love that moment during something where you tell a joke or you, like, whether it's improv or stand-up or anything, that you say something and the audience starts laughing, and they laugh so hard that you can't help but laugh that they're laughing at your stuff. Yeah. And it's like you're trying to continue, but you're trying not to laugh. And it's just one of those beautiful moments.
That's a very beautiful moment.
And I have to say that, and it has been my experience between Lab and Die Laughing that, honestly, the audiences we get at Fearless shows
are
the best audiences you could ever ask for.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
Starting at the other end of the table.
We still have one more to go.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, but, okay. But real quick, I've been talking to other people about stand-up, and they've told me things like, oh, you should do a set here because the audience sucks, and it'll teach you how to fail.
Oh.
And, like, they won't want to laugh and things like that. And it's like, sure, I want to learn, and I want to develop my craft, and I want to know how to deal with these things. But hearing people actually come to me and tell me, like, oh, if you go here, the audience is going to hate you.
Huh.
The audience will never respond to you and things like that. And then thinking about all the audiences we get at Fearless shows who are there to support the acts that are going up and know that the acts are trying something they've never done. They're trying things that they may not be practiced in or things they've just newly written and just want to get in front of an audience. And our audiences are willing to go out there and go, okay, this may not be something that's polished. It may not be something that's finished. But I'm going to take this for what it is, and I'm going to enjoy it. And I'm going to laugh when I feel like laughing, and I'm going to respond when I feel like responding. Like, they don't go out and go, all right, impress me, and then cross their arms and try to defiantly not laugh. They go out and they enjoy the things that people put on, and the people that go out there put on things for an audience that appreciates them. And it is such a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Kayla?
A favorite
thing? Show that you either
honestly
saw or tangentially involved in?
Honestly, I think, I honestly think it was the sideshow for Salsa and Megan and Matt.
Aww.
Because it woke me up more than coffee did. I was cringing so hard throughout and having to take pictures of it, basically. It stuck
those
out.
Be my new profile pictures. Me, it's covered in dollar bills with a 50 on my stomach.
Dollar bill, y'all.
Oh, I was one of the 20s. But that was, I think, probably my fave, just because it was. Yeah, like I said, it was kind of that waker upper, that mix of like total just cringing, watching these things happen and just like dying, you know, and complete entertainment. So that was probably
nice.
My favorite.
Very nice.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
I wanted to say, speaking of places that you will bomb, worst comedy show ever, young Eric, you are so fucking funny. I was prepared. Like, I knew what was about to happen, and it was even better and worse than I had hoped.
For the record, I didn't know what was about to happen.
Oh, shit.
Because the original plan was to prepare index cards and then go out there and drop the index cards and just pick them up and read whatever was on them and then just kind of riff off of it. When I was like preparing stuff here, there were two things on my to-do list that sat there untouched until the last minute. And one was my stand-up set because that terrified me.
Yeah.
And the other thing were these index cards because I kept going, oh, I can do that later. And then I can do that later. We're here, the show has started, I can do that later. Then finally I get to sleep and I go, fuck. I go, hey Keith, you're staying awake for a while, right? And he's like, yeah. This is what I want on these index cards. Can you fill these out? And he goes,
Oh, yeah. So I wake up, and the entire case of, like, 300 index cards
Holy
is
shit.
Covered.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
And it has been, they've all been written on, and they're put back in the case. And I looked at it and went, I'm not opening that.
No.
Yes. Yep.
So when I walked on stage, the only thing I saw was the top one.
Oh, fuck.
And that's
oh,
it. God. I had no clue what any of those cards
oh,
said.
God,
yes.
And the first one I drew after I dropped them and went, oh, was, if the audience doesn't laugh.
Yes!
That's on them. And I went, okay. And then proceeded to do the worst 5 minutes
fuck.
Of my life, which were draw a card and then go, this thing.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay, next card.
When in doubt, do the hokey pokey.
Yeah, and sometimes fuck you would just look at the card and then start doing the hokey pokey very slow. Fuck, it was so good. God, and Keith, who knew what was on the cards, was dying over on the side.
Can you imagine he's the puppeteer of the whole
yeah.
thing? Of course he's dying
yeah.
laughing.
He wrote oh, down Granny Clampett. What the fuck, man?
I think my favorite moment was near the end of your set. You picked up a card and it said, don't forget to use the cards. And he just read it and went, fuck you.
Done.
Oh, God.
James, you had a question that you wanted to start
yeah.
the other
oh,
side.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, you're all fantastically funny people. Starting down at the other end, was there ever a time when you got an unexpectedly big reaction to something that you did?
Like ever or this event?
I'm going to say in your career.
Oh,
buddy.
So not like, well, fucking, but...
Oh, never mind then.
No, that's never happened.
I'm aware. I've been there for some of it.
Mm-hmm. The
what? Somebody's got to run the video camera.
For me, okay, the first time I did any kind of a stand-up, anything, which was at Die Laughing last year at Lab... Because Matt was like, hey, you should do this thing. And I was like, I don't think I'm funny. And I remember like writing this song and then going around to like my coworkers and being like, this is funny, right? Like these things are funny. And they were like, yeah, that's funny.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, good. And I had no idea what to expect because I'd never done anything even remotely like that before. And so then I was like, okay, I guess I'm just going to go do this thing. And it hadn't really occurred to me like... what Die Laughing was, per se.
Yeah.
So I show up, and I'm like, oh, this is like a thing. This is like a 50-hour thing. And, like, there's this big audience, and I didn't actually know that it was being, like, live on the internet, which is cool, because that's effectively how I came out. But anyway, so I ended up playing this song that's just kind of lovingly called the gay song, and I mean, I guess it worked because I heard all kinds of laughs mm-hmm. from the audience, and that kind of marked the start of here I am now. So there's that.
I just want to interject. We only have like 5 to 10 minutes left, so we should get
yeah.
through these fairly quickly.
Oh, word.
Yeah. Okay. You said ever, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, so in college, we did a production of The Hormel Girls, which was originally done at the Minnesota History Museum, and then we got the second rights to it. So I played the Southern Belle character. I don't even remember exactly what the phrase was, but it was, I said a line, somebody else said a line, and then I, like, my thing was kind of a joke, her thing was a response, then my second thing was kind of a joke. And I don't remember what the exact wordings were, but, like, our opening night, a lot of people who, like, produced the history theater like came to it, and so like we were pretty packed, and I remember like delivering those two lines and both of them getting big laughs, and also having to figure out the spacing between them, and having that be like my first real lesson in letting something breathe and figuring out the exact timing of it.
Sure. nice
yeah. My biggest reaction, I think that I was not expecting, was directing the Fearless Five 2 years ago.
Yeah.
for the Harbingers. I got to do the sexy Harbingers mm-hmm. of Doom.
Oh, that was fun.
I hope I'm thinking about the thing you're about to say.
I think you are thinking about it. And I had three separate disapproving people that entered from three separate areas. One of those areas that one of them entered from was not an area that people expected him to enter from. There was a stage left and a stage right at Mounds Theater, but there the curtain split in the middle, even though there is like no backstage back there.
Yeah, there's stage left, stage right, and stage what the fuck.
Yeah.
Stage haunted, I think.
Basically. Well, it was about haunting, so it all worked perfectly. But the thing is that at the beginning of that 15-minute show, I had the Reverend Matthew Kasson behind the center curtains where nobody would ever enter or exit from because there is like a foot and a half of space there and then just fuck you. So like I had one person enter from stage left and then one person enter from stage right, and that was all understandable. And then like these two go to walk upstage, and like suddenly there's Kesson, who has been there for like the past 10 minutes just waiting for his opportunity, and the audience lost their shit.
Yep. Yeah.
And it having broke it, my actors.
Yeah. Yep.
And it was fucking brilliant, and I was just like, oh god, I thought that was gonna be I didn't expect this, holy shit. Yes, I'm a genius. Just like, yeah. So I think that's probably my biggest reaction, like unexpected reaction to nice. Something that I plotted.
All right. So little bit savvy. I think my most unexpected reaction. So like Matt, I have stage fright. Getting on stage a lot of times is not an easy thing. The audition for Vilification Tennis is to do the show. Mm-hmm. And basically, I had argued my way into a corner trying to figure out a way to not do this. And when we got there on the night, I was terrified. I should also mention that my wife... having known me for such a long time and having to share a house with me does not find me funny.
My wife either.
I know. So
none of my any wives.
So anytime she likes a joke, it always bombs. And any joke that she doesn't like seems to go over well. So leading up to this, I had this feeling of like nothing I have is funny. And I stepped on stage, and like 3 or 4 seconds into the conversation, the audience loses it. And I just kind of looked out and was like, I can do this. And I think that was the most unexpected and reassuring response that I've ever gotten.
Nice.
All right, we've got 30 seconds to get through everybody else.
I've been doing this for close to 2 decades, and I'm still astonished anybody laughs at anything I say.
Fair.
I think the what? I don't get it. I think the moment, and the only one that springs to mind right now, is we were doing a Vilification Tennis show a few years back, and I don't remember the exact theme. It was like hipsters or something. I think it was hipsters. Was the theme.
Sure.
But I came up with this idea where I was going to wear a guitar on stage.
Oh, God.
Shit. And every single insult I threw, I would start with, your mother is so fat, wrote a song about it.
God damn it.
And then I would play a terrible song with that. That was the punchline. And the first couple ones, and then the third or fourth or fifth time I did it, it was like, oh, this is going to be a thing. And then the 10th or 11th time I did it, it was just because they knew it was coming. And so it would, you know, this, your mother is so fat, pregnant pause.
Abortion.
I wrote a song about it. And they knew it was coming. And it would be just... wrote a song about it, and they would lose their shit. It was so good.
So for me, I'm not as not as a practiced funny guy as everyone else. Funny guy, funny person.
Thank you.
So whenever... So whenever I get people to bust a gut, it makes me feel pretty good. But one of the times that comes to mind is it was shortly after I had joined Fearless, and we were doing the hot sauce challenge.
Oh, fuck that.
And with the hot sauce challenge, someone had to cancel out, so therefore that naturally meant the camera guy officially became a part of the challenge. So it was either the last hot sauce or the second last hot sauce, and I saw this dot on the chip, and I was looking on it, at it, and I looked up, and I'm like, I just realized that I joined Fearless 2 weeks too early.
Oh, shit.
And the entire room uproared, and that was perfect.
Fuck. Cosplay, wrote a skit. Link is being followed around by Navi. This is going to make sense to some of you and not others. I had a sound clip of the sound that plays when you grab something and he holds it up. And then the announcer was given a snippet to read. And so I'm wandering around and Navi's bothering me. And all of a sudden the sound plays and I hold this roll of duct tape aloft. And the crowd fucking exploded. And if there is video of it, I am sure that you can see me like wince away from the audience because I am stunned by the grenade of applause and cheering and shit because I expected people to laugh. I was not at all prepared for that shit, and I have never achieved that degree of comedy ever again, but I will try.
And that's all the time that we have.
Oh, you piece of shit. I got a Vil 10 moment as well. It was maybe my first year, maybe my second year. Long enough ago that I was up against TJ and whoever's partner was at the time, which for those of you that
possibly
watch Vil 10, don't know who that is probably right now. But there was some kind of joke that involved being like a male cheerleader and holding the female cheerleader up and having her slide like halfway down your arm, like something like that.
Right.
And me, as he did that joke, going, I can make her talk with like a hand puppet. And TJ and his partner lost it. Tim lost it. The audience roared. And I was like, I was just doing that as I turned away because we lost. Oops.
Cool.
I have powers.
All right. I think that's about all the time we have. We'd like to, again, thank True Stone Coffee. If you would like to order some True Stone, go to truestonecoffee.com. Use the promo code apropos.
Or high five, guys.
Or that. Spelled apropos.
And get 10% off your coffee. Booth, get ready to play us out. All I want to do is say thank you to all of the audiences watching in both in the theater and on the live stream. Thank you so very, very much. Thank you to all the people who joined Apropos of Nothing, the high five guys, Matt, Lauren down there. They didn't have to do this, but they did actually. Now that I think about it,
he was singling you two out because you're not actually on the podcasts anymore.
Yeah. The only thing we really have to say left. What,
Lauren? We could be eating sandwiches. What do we do?
I know you guys are idiots. The only thing we really have left to say is eat the fucking cake.